Good morning. All right. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer again real quick. Jim?
In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Amen. All right. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Anybody guess what we're going to talk about this morning? The apostles. Very good, Jonathan. Going back over the last several times he's been here, I think I heard something about apostles. So I'll go with that. Very good. You know which one? Oh, wait, you weren't here last time. That's okay. Let me go on to somebody else. Anybody else? No, I'm kidding. He was working. Do you know? Okay, yeah, yeah, correct. We did both. Yeah, so we're on John. We talked about Peter, talked about Andrew, talked about James, and here we are at John, the brother of James. I probably bring that up almost every class. It just amazes me. It amazes me because we've talked about, when you think about the apostles, you ask somebody to name an apostle, the person they're going to name is Peter, most likely. But if they don't name him, or if they're the second one to speak up, who are they going to name? John. John. And everywhere, pretty much except maybe one place where John is mentioned, he's known as the brother of James. So just like Andrew, we talked about, the brother of Simon Peter. Simon's brother, Andrew. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He couldn't stand alone because nobody knew who he was. Hi, I'm Andrew. Oh, I'm Simon Peter's brother. Oh, okay. I know Simon Peter. He talks a lot. And it's the same with John. John introduced himself to somebody and they didn't know who he was. He'd say, I'm James's brother. They'd be like, oh, I know James. Now, we're not told a lot about what James did in the Bible, but he evidently did a lot of things. How do we know that about James? How do you know he was busy doing the Lord's work? There's one for surefire way that you know that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Anybody remember? He was the first martyr. Now, why in the world would Herod behead somebody that wasn't doing anything? So Herod wanted to persecute the church and calm this thing that was about to go on. And who did he choose to take out? James. So James was obviously doing a lot for the Lord. John was in the back seat. But we don't think about that when we think about John. There's those tags I talked about when we talk about like Peter the apostle with a foot-shaped mouth. What's the one for John? The apostle?
Whom Jesus loved.
Well, you could say that, yeah, whom Jesus loved. Or the apostle of love. There's something else we always think about when we think about John. Love. Why do we think that? Mostly.
Because he's claimed or identified as the one that
Jesus loved. Yeah.
So you may have covered this when I wasn't here, maybe when I was asleep.
I did. Just go back and listen. Let's move on.
which was the elder, James or John?
James.
That's what I thought.
James was the elder. Yeah, I think Donald last week, and he's not even over there, I pointed to an empty seat. I think Donald last week asked if John was the youngest of the apostles. He had heard that, and I've heard that, but I don't know that.
Well,
yeah, yeah, I don't really know that, so maybe so. But yeah, so James is the older.
So did you, in the other cases where one is identified as the brother of, at least while they're still alive, did you look to see which was the elder and which was the younger of those pairs?
Which one now? Of James and John?
No, Peter and Andrew.
Okay, Peter.
Societal custom.
Oh, where they just gave reverence to the older brother by?
Yes.
Maybe so. Could be.
Because the elder or the eldest in the Jewish economy really had the prominence.
Yeah, and I think we talked about that a little bit when we talked about Peter, specifically when we talked about Andrew. I think that was brought up a little bit that maybe they referred to him that way because he was the younger brother of Peter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably so. But either way, John took the back seat. But we don't think about that.
Right.
He's predominant in our minds. And predominantly to be the apostle of love. Well, that's pretty interesting. Considering that him and his brother wanted to call fire down from heaven and kill a bunch of Samaritans. And considering that he was always in the argument about who was greatest. And possibly put his mother, Salome, however you want to say it, up to going to Jesus and asking him, "Hey, Lord, please, can my two sons sit on either side of you in the kingdom?" Does that sound like the apostle of love? No, it doesn't. That's not all he did. We'll look at something else he did here in just a second, if we get to it. So, the apostle of love. So, we think about John being very predominant. He wasn't. Now, later in life, things take a switch. And when we read about James being martyred, everywhere they're mentioned together, it's James and his brother John, or John, the brother of James. It's always where John is less significant and James is more significant, except where James is martyred, if you remembered that. It says, and Herod took James, the brother of John. That's the first time it's ever mentioned that way. So things now swap. James is off the scene later. And it'll be John who takes up the mantle and goes with Peter in the book of Acts and does these things. And who becomes an elder of the church in church history. And we'll talk about all that. So Mark chapter 3, let's read this. Because there's a quiz coming at the end of this study on how many apostles can you name? No cheating, Marsha. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And he goeth up into a mountain, that he is Jesus, and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out devils. And here they are. Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. And he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, and we're always told in these lists, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house. Now, turn to John chapter 19. I think I'd like to read this verse referring to John. We read a lot when we talked about James at the beginning of the classes, where he called Peter and Andrew and James and John at about the same time. But I want to read this. John chapter 19, verse 26. Because this sticks out in my mind when I think about John. Much like what Jim said. But verse 26 says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved. Now we believe that's John. Now understand that nowhere in John's gospel does he say, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. He never raises his hand and says, that's me. We infer that from him not naming himself here and relegating himself to the back burner. The disciple standing by whom he loved, and saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And that's John. And we'll get to it. So Jesus, when he's in the garden and they come to get him, everybody flees. Everybody. And there's only one apostle standing there at the cross as he dies, and that's John. So this John had a special relationship with the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, we talked some about it last week. They could have been and probably were cousins. We'll get to that. What I want to look at now, I think, is, and I don't know how I want to do it, so it may be kind of sporadic, but I'd like to look at some things John says in some of his writing. with him being the apostle of love, he's also very interested in truth. And he's very black and white. Do you know anybody that's black and white? You know anybody that's black and white? Nothing is gray. It's either black or it's white. There is no gray area. That seemed to be John. And I'm doing it out of the order of what I've got noted here, so bear with me 1 second. Let's look at John chapter 1. Most of what we know about John comes from his gospel. If we did not have the gospel of John, we wouldn't know any more about John than we knew about James, which was very little. We wouldn't know any more John much than we knew, know about James, the son of Alphaeus, which is practically nothing except his father's name. If it wasn't for John's gospel, we wouldn't know much about John. But John chapter 1, if y'all ever, I don't know what they're called. Have y'all ever seen the Bibles that are supposed to be in chronological order? Okay, that's what it's called. It's a chronological Bible. Thank you, Brother Ronnie. I'm not talking about a different, calm down, I'm not talking about a different version. It could still be King James, okay? But they put it in chronological order. And what that means is, what came first? You know, we believe Job's the oldest book. And what happened in Job was older than a lot of things that came before the book of Job that we read about. So that's what they're talking about. Does anybody know what the first verse in the chronological Bible is? That could be two verses. It's John 1:1. And actually it's a good bit of this passage here. But John writes about something that was near and dear to his heart. Let's read a little bit. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Now that word, the W is capitalized. What does that mean? English majors, it's a proper noun. Okay? So it is someone. We know that's Jesus. How do you know? Well, just read a little bit further. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Whoa! Brother Ronnie, how can you be with me and be me? The Word, Jesus, we find out later, was with God, but not only was he with God, he was God. Now that's what the verse says. He still is God today, but he was with God and he was God. That's quite a conundrum for the human brain. As a matter of fact, we can't understand it. It's hard to explain it, and you can't really explain it well, but we just can't understand that concept. The best thing you can do is think about, I've heard of different people preach, and it's off the top of my head, so I can't remember exactly the details, but things God made that are triune. Man, body, soul, spirit, blood. I'll leave that to Hunter or somebody else. But that's the best we can do because we have a finite brain. We can't understand these things. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Okay. Is this John the Apostle? No. Be very careful. Just like we talked about James's, there's several Jameses in the Bible. There's James the Apostle, who was the brother of John. There's James the Less, or James the son of Alphaeus, who was also an apostle. There's James the brother of Jesus, who wrote the book of the Bible we call James. Those are different people. Just like this with John. Be very careful. Don't get John the Apostle mixed up with John the Baptist. Okay, so we're about to look at some discussion from John the Apostle on John the Baptist. This John in verse 6 is John the Baptist. Verse 7 says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. Now we're back to talking about Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, I'm thankful for this verse, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That little word dwelt, I know I've talked about it at some point in the past. It literally means to tent or to tabernacle. So John said that Jesus, who was with God and was God, was made flesh, and he came to tabernacle with us, or to tent, to pitch a tent. Why pitch a tent? He wasn't going to be here long. It's very temporary. He was only flesh for about 33 and a half years. But he says he came and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. All right, there's a key there. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What do you think he might be talking about when he said, we beheld his glory? We don't even know who the author is at this point. We beheld his glory. Anybody got any idea? Transfiguration. Jesus was in his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there were only three people there. Who were they? That inner circle of three. Peter, James, and John. John says, we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. All right, finally getting to where I want to get to. Full of grace and what? Truth. All right, look at verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and what? Truth came by Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 23. This is Jesus speaking. John's recording this. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? Truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him. It's not an option. Must worship him in spirit and in what? Truth. All right, look at chapter 8. We're talking about John dealing with truth. Chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus speaking, John recording. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Chapter 14. This well-known statement. It's kind of like Brian talked about this morning. John is the I am man. He records a lot of statements where Jesus said, I am. Plug in something after that. Verse 6, John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One more, chapter 15. Verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, I had some references. I'm not going to skip them. Let's look real quick. Those are the ones in John's gospel. We've got like three more. Now, let's look at in his epistles, he talks about truth. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the what? The truth is not in us. Now look at chapter 3, verse 18. This is 1 John 3, 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, and in truth. Okay, now turn just a couple pages. We've got two more. 2 John, verse 1. How do you know what chapter? There's only one. 2 John, verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. I didn't let you answer. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Twice in that verse. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. One more. 3 John. Verse 1. The elder and the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Okay, what's the big deal about truth? I don't know. There has never been a day like today. There has never been a day when we need to boldly stand for that little five-letter word, T-R-U-T-H. The world has gone crazy. They've gone mad. We got all kind of, I'm not going to go off on all the stuff because I feel like it's in the flesh. But there's all kind of, I heard something yesterday about the first, it just had to be a Baptist, the first Baptist pastor that really embraced the LGBT community. I wanted to throw up. But if that wasn't bad enough, you know, we dealt in this country with different things. We dealt with some things. We dealt with, you know, one thing was homosexual marriage and the question of homosexual marriage, and our Supreme Court failed us there. But this trans movement is a whole nother level. It's a whole nother level. And I'm not going to go deep into that, so Holly, you ain't got to worry about see the Beth being in here. But it's a whole nother level of craziness. We have to hold the truth. We have to tell these people. Now, John was very black and white. Now, I want to go back and talk about that. He was black and white. Now, what do we like to do? We just like to keep our mouth shut. Now, just be honest. We don't like to confront those things. We don't want to stand. We don't want to offend anybody. We feel like that because we as Christians, because there's a verse in the Bible where we're told to turn the other cheek, that we have to deny the truth. We don't have to do that. If we do, we're going to lose this country. Okay? Now, you vote like you want to. I'm voting for Donald Trump. I don't mind saying that from up here. I don't care what you think. Most everybody in here is probably with me. If you're not, that's fine. We live in a free country. Vote for who you want to. But I'm telling you, they're attacking truth. A person with an XY chromosome is a man, period. That's the end of the discussion. A person with an XX chromosome is a woman. That's it. That's the truth. And if we allow this country, our communities, our churches to be overrun with a lie, You saw what John said, and we'll look at more. John tells the church what to do. That elect lady he's talking to is the church. And he tells them some things to do. He says, yes, we have to love them. I'm glad he mixed that in. But he said, if they deny truth, don't even accept them. Now, I'm not a proponent of shutting that door and keeping them out. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what he was saying. But you don't accept those things and start modifying, try to change what the Bible says and change the Bible's doctrine to fit the world. We don't do that. This is the truth. No matter what the world says. Yeah. Very good. Truth. We have to hold the truth. And there's no day greater than today. And what our kids will face and what our kids' kids will face, I don't know. But if you don't put the truth in them, they are not going to have anything to stand on. And they're going to be overrun by this generation where, I forgot the number, 40%. Of this generation claims to be LGBT. 40%, almost. We have to hold to truth. That's the point. Now, John's black and white. I told you I was out of order. John talks about different things in his gospel and in his epistles too. But I want to look at a couple of things in his gospel. We're actually going to look at the epistle first. Here's some things John sets against one another. Light and darkness. Life and death. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. The children of God and the children of Satan. The judgment of the righteous versus the judgment of the wicked. The resurrection of life compared to the resurrection unto death. Receiving Christ versus rejecting Christ. There's a decision to be made. Fruit versus fruitlessness. Obedience versus disobedience. And, of course, love versus hatred. Look at 1 John chapter 3. I know we're reading a lot this morning. I can't do anything more important when I stand up here than read the Bible. First John chapter 3. John is black and white. That's what we're talking about. He is the apostle of truth. And he's the apostle of love too. That comes later. When you're looking at him as a young man, there ain't a lot of that there. Not a lot of love there. That love comes later. Thankfully, God molded him. In his epistles, he's an old man. But he's still black and white. Look at 1 John, I don't know if I told you, chapter 3. Let me see if I want to read verse. Let's read verse 8. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's read verse 7. I had 9, but let's read 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. There is a line. He has set a line. Now, we're going to talk about his wording, and we may not get to it today, though. He that committeth righteous is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Where's the gray? There is none. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. We'll talk about that, but it's probably going to be next week. Doth not commit sin. We might get to it. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. If you're born of God, you don't commit sin. There's a line there. He's inferring that if you do commit, whatever he's talking about is all wrapped up in that word, commit sin. If you do, you're what? You're not born of God. That's a line. And, you know, I'm dancing around it because I want to be able to explain it. John doesn't dance around it. He just said, if you commit sin, you are not born of God. Closed his Bible and walked off. It's habitual sin here, and we'll talk about that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, what are we talking about? We're talking about John being black and white. Now, even in this, I don't know. I don't know if I'd classify him as the apostle of love or not. Pretty hard here. It's truth. It's hard to take in. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. There's a line. You're either of God or you're of the world. Where's the gray? There is none. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Oh, thank the Lord he put some love in here. Because he is the apostle of love. But man, he's told you how it was. Hey, we need that, by the way, because we're going to explain things away anyway. Somebody can make it black and white for us, and we're going to find a gray area so that we can dabble in our sin. That's what we're going to do. Yeah, tough love. There you go. Yeah, yeah. So 1 John verse 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. There's a line. If you know that perfect love and show that perfect love, you're of God. That's what John said. If you don't show love, guess what? That's an indicator that you're not of God. Now, I'm going to say something in the flesh. It's not bad. I've known a lot of people who claim to be Christian but are as mean as the day is long. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's not my final decision. I don't slam the gavel. But according to that, they're not even saved. John said, if you are saved, if you're of God, you're going to love. And you're going to love one another. That's what he said. Well, so-and-so said this about me. Don't matter. There is no gray area. So-and-so said this about my wife. Don't matter. Now, you better be careful with that. So-and-so did this to my kids. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Now, we just talked about. That don't mean that at everything that comes up, we just let it all go, let it overtake the culture, turn our cheek and say nothing. That's not what he's saying. But you can speak the truth in love. And so he is an apostle that mixes these two things together really well. Is that the first bell? Okay. In his second epistle, look at 2 John. And if you turn to John's gospel, you might as well not even try because you ain't going to find it far. 2 John chapter 9. Not chapter 9, verse 9. I said that and then God got me. 2 John verse 9. Now, you want to talk about calling for separation? Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You do what this Bible says, John said, you got God in you. You don't, and you don't. Where's the gray area?
Well, there's a difference in what you just now read and what you have been reading in the last few moments.
Okay, what is it? Okay.
If you abide in the doctrine of Christ, that's measurable. I can do something that you would say I did out of hate, and someone else would say I did out of love because they knew more about the situation.
Yeah. True. That's right. For the most part, it is measurable. There's a lot of things in Scripture that we don't know, though.
Right.
So there's some things, maybe you have an opinion on one, I have an opinion on another, which one's right? It's hard to tell.
Exactly.
But for the most part, you can tell. And that's the thing. You know, people, the big thing today is don't judge me. Don't judge me. We shouldn't judge other people. I get it. Okay? But we're not judging. This is. Just hold to this.
Right.
Don't throw your opinions in.
Right.
Just hold to this, and that's fine. We're not doing the judging. Okay? So John is black and white. And then 3 John 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. For he that doeth good is of God. But he that doeth evil, not only does he not have God, he says he hath not even seen God. Where's the gray? You do good, you have God. You do evil, you don't have God. We have gotten, and I'm about to say I'm a young man, but getting older every day. But it's even different than what I remember as a kid. We've gotten to this culture of nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. You can't point out sin in people's life. You can't. Not even the preacher. Not even the Bible. There's no respect for the house of God anymore. It wasn't always this way. Now, it was always, you always had sin in the world, and you had lost people, and you had saved people. It's different, though, nowadays. You can't point these things out. But John had none of that. He said, this is this, and this is this, and you either fall in this bucket, or you fall in this bucket, and there ain't no bucket in the middle. Period. So, all right, we better quit there. That's kind of in the middle of a thought. John was the apostle of love, but he's focused on truth, and we'll look at that a little bit more. But he's very black and white. How can you not be with the truth? Yep, but now we live in a day where the truth is subjective. You can have your own truth.
Well, you notice, I was just fixing to point that out, you notice in the vernacular, because people want to speak their truth,
yeah.
Not the truth.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I'm saying. Stick with this. Just line up with this and let's try to keep our opinions out of it. And we'll be fine. It's hard to do. We're flesh. All right, Johnny, you want to dismiss?